WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. George W. Bush will make his first presidential trip to another country this Friday when he meets with Mexico's new president, Vicente Fox. Fox is the first Mexican president since 1929 who is not from the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which is known by its Spanish acronym PRI. During the 7 decades PRI ran Mexico, the party became infamous for its corruption, one of the many things that Fox has pledged to change. Fox has also promised to combat crime and drug smuggling. My guest, Sam Quiñones, is a journalist who has been writing about Mexico for 7 years. He has a new book called True Tales from Another Mexico. It's only been a little more than 2 months since Vicente Fox was inaugurated. I asked Sam Quiñones if he could observe any changes in daily life.
I would say the foremost change is a kind of a apprehension mixed with optimism on the part of the people. No one ever believed that the PRI would lose. They voted against the PRI, but they always said, well, someone will change my vote, or there'll be vote fraud and we'll lose. But here what happened on July 2nd, which is when the election took place, was this kind of mass voting. Everyone's just kind of voted and ducked, you know. Gee, I hope he wins. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sick of the system now. I think lots of people feel now this kind of great optimism. There is some apprehension, like, what's going to happen? We're a little unsure of the future, but the truth is that almost anything would be better than what they had, and I think a lot of people realize that. And so I think the major change that I've noticed is just this kind of change in the attitude of people. They want something different, and they think Fox can give it to them. They're willing to wait a little while, at least, to see that he's at least working towards that. And the more he shows that he is, I think the more chance they'll give him to do it.
President Fox is the first president since 1929, since the creation of the PRI party, that isn't from the PRI party. What did PRI represent? What kind of politics did it stand for?
The PRI represented the great officialist tendency in Mexican society. It's a tendency that has an excessive respect for power, a deference toward position and money. He defeated that primarily, I believe. His defeat of the PRI was a defeat of what had been part of Mexican society since the creation, essentially, of Mexico, which was this officialist concept of the president as kind of God, almost the mayors and governors as kind of princes. When he won, Mexican society was saying, we've had enough of the abuse of these people. And for the first time, it was kind of holding accountable those people who have always been in power in Mexico.
How did PRI manage to hold on to power for so long?
Well, it's a complicated thing, but they created a system very similar to, I like to compare it to, Tammany Hall. If you think of the PRI as a nationwide Tammany Hall, you understand Mexico. Under the PRI, they created a system in which they understood that, unlike, say, the Nazis or the communists in Russia, that ideology was irrelevant, that what they really needed to do was basically buy people off. It was this entire system based on the concept that every man has his price. And in a poor country, it's not really that high. And so what they did was essentially create an entire system using their power as government to just buy people off. And this they did by in a million different ways. They could offer a radical a professorship. They could offer a poor person a piece of land that wasn't his. They could offer a bureaucrat an opportunity to break the law with impunity. All of this created a kind of a system of interests and collusion that was extremely strong for many, many years, and only lost power once that same system couldn't create the wealth that allowed the PRI to buy people off anymore.
In your book, you write about meeting the director of the National Association of Private Schools, and you were looking for some leads and some phone numbers for a story that you were doing. Tell us what he asked for in return.
Well, I went there kind of very wide-eyed, as an American journalist would, hoping for comments, you know, and some names and numbers of private schools so I could do a story on how rough it was for the private schools. He had something else entirely in mind. He asked me for 500 pesos for this information, and I couldn't understand why he would ask me for that. And so I said, well, and he explained, well, the problem is it's very hard to open up our database, and it's going to cost 500 pesos to open up our database, which I couldn't believe at all. There was a computer right there. I could have probably opened it up myself. But the idea was that I didn't really know where I was, and I was in the middle at that moment. It was very early in my time in Mexico. Of the pre-regime. The pre-regime was made up of three pillars of support: the campesinos, the small farmers, the unions, and then this place where I was, which is the organization of the Confederation of Popular Organizations, taxi cab drivers, small businessmen. One of those organizations was the Association of Private Schools, and this man's job was not to make critical comments about the economic situation and how it affected the private schools. It was to essentially support whatever the president said and do so blindly, and have his little sinecure in this little grimy office that he had being attended to by a guy who shined his shoes, and a woman, the secretary, who would bring him coffee every so often, and apparently, looking for every opportunity to extort a little bit of money from innocent little journalist like myself.
If you're just joining us, my guest is journalist Sam Quiñones. His new book is called True Tales from Another Mexico. What does Mexico's new president, Vicente Fox, stand for politically as compared to PRI?
Well, I think what he stands for politically is the opening up of opportunity for the lower echelon of the Mexican economy, which is essentially about two-thirds of the economy that is poor and working class. I think that more than anything is what his promise is for Mexico. Certainly in the economic sphere, he has got to do a lot to open up opportunity, make it easier for these people to go into business for themselves, to do things that they never were able to do under the PRI. Politically, I would say he stands for the modernization of Mexican government. Up to now, Mexican government has been entirely unaccountable, inefficient, inert, and just a colossal waste of taxpayer money. I think what his job now is to make it accountable, open it up, make information available to everyone that comes from the government. Up to now, it's not been. Make it efficient and flexible and agile, because up to now, this Mexico has carried this great weight of its bloated and inefficient government on its back, and it has kept Mexico from developing economically. And so the politics and the economics are intertwined here, and you can't separate them. So he's got to break open this for the lower echelons of Mexican society, economic opportunity, at the same time as modernizing and making more efficient the Mexican government.
Now Fox has been described as conservative, yet he's also described as the big reform candidate. When people use the word conservative to describe his politics, what does that mean?
Well, I think they're wrong when they describe him that way. But when they use that term, I mean, primarily that he comes from the National Action Party, the PAN, and number two, that he was once a member of Coca-Cola de Mexico, the president of Coca-Cola de Mexico, and comes from this big business background. But like Mexico, Fox is very, very difficult to label in this sense, and I think that it's not entirely fair to label him conservative. As governor, for example, he was the first one, he established a Mexican version of the Grameen Bank. The Grameen Bank is the bank in Bangladesh that was set up to get credit and loans into the hands of the poorest women in the society. And he set up a version of that. Now, that's not, in my book, a very conservative policy. I don't know. He's the first one to treat immigrants, people coming from, leaving Mexico, going to the United States to work, with dignity and treating them actually as people who had economic power and the ability to provide jobs in their own communities. He's had a number of programs that have tried to tap their savings in the United States for productive investment in Mexico. This is a radical, radical change in how the Mexican government views the people who are working in the United States. For many years, they treated them as kind of turncoats, as these nasty people who were stomping on the Mexican flag by going to the gringo and working for the gringo and this kind of thing, even though these people were leaving for through no fault of their own, but they just they couldn't find work in Mexico. This change, you know, is that conservative or is it liberal? I don't know. I think it's a lot of both, and it defies in a sense, I think, labels, and that's why he is very interesting. That's also why Mexico is very interesting. It defies political ideology and dogma and rhetoric, and his conservatism. Yeah, he is a man very interested in the free market and. But he's also very interested in getting the lower segments of Mexican society involved in the market, which is something they've never been really able to do up to now.
My guest is journalist Sam Quiñones. His new book is called True Tales from Another Mexico. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is journalist Sam Quiñones. He's been writing about Mexico for about 7 years. His new book is called True Tales from Another Mexico. What are some of the promises that President Fox has made to Mexicans?
Well, he promised a whole lot, essentially a transformation of the country in almost every area you can imagine, and environmentally, and education, in terms of the government practices, economically. All of this is going to take many, many years to accomplish. It's not going to happen in his 6 years in office. What he can do in his 6 years is set the foundation so that in the future, first of all, Mexico will not revert to a kind of a pre-style system ever again, number one, that's most important, and number two, that the next president and the next presidents, really, because it's going to take 15, 20 years, I believe, will go beyond what he's done and establish a government that is modern, that responds to its people and is accountable and fair and open. In education, he's got a total revamping of the entire public education system, if you ask me. He's got this horrid system that is a drag on the Mexican economy, turns out really cheap. I don't believe that it turns out thinking, critical, analytical citizens, like a democracy needs, and it has a number of teachers that are really not really worth the money that they're paid, and they're paid very little. Environmentally, the entire country is a disaster. There's not a watershed in Mexico, I think, that's not polluted. He's got to instill a feeling for the environment that does not exist right now. In almost every area you can imagine, he's got building to do. And it's really essentially what he's got to do in general terms is just country building.
Do you have a sense of what President Bush and President Fox want out of the relationship with each other?
I have to say, I don't know what President Bush wants out of the relationship with Mexico, although I assume it's a closer relationship in many ways. I know that Vicente Fox has a number of goals that he'd like to see happen. Number one, just a closer economic relationship, a relationship that deals more in a position of equals and less from parent-child, which has been the attitude up to now of the United States towards Mexico. And that has to change because Mexico now has a legitimately elected government, and it's not going to stand for this kind of attitude on the part of, say, people like Jesse Helms and others to treat Mexico as if we're like a bad, naughty child. Vicente Fox also wants to create, along the border with the United States, similar to the border with the United States and Canada, where there's this free flow of people, goods, everything is more or less easy to take across. He is a supporter of NAFTA, but he thinks NAFTA didn't go far enough. And Fox would like to see human beings included in NAFTA in some regard, it's not just free flow of goods and services, but that people can more easily go to the United States and work, maybe a guest worker program, this kind of thing. Eventually, what he'd like to see is some kind of common market idea similar to Europe, where people go across the border very easily, a lot more easily than they do now. That's going to take a while because Mexico, we can't open up the borders and without thousands and thousands and thousands of people just pouring into the United States, I think. However, it is something that I think can be achieved in the future. All Mexico just has to develop economically to the point where people don't want to go so much to the United States, and it's just crossing the border is more of like a business trip and that kind of thing.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see the movie Traffic about drug trafficking.
Yeah, I did.
I think that movie is making an impression on a lot of Americans who see it, and part of the movie is about corruption in the Mexican police. What does President Fox have to say about corruption in the police that deal with drugs?
Well, I think he has to say that it's going to be a long fight to weed it out and change the culture of the police forces that deal with drugs. The one dominant thing, though, I think that many Mexicans feel is true, is that as long as the United States continues to use copious quantities of illegal drugs, primarily cocaine and marijuana that come through Mexico, there will be no end to this problem, really. There will always be drug traffickers, and there will always be a certain amount of drug corruption in the police forces. And so it's something that maybe the president can't say. Many, many Mexicans say it all the time. He has set about trying to reform the police departments that deal with drug trafficking. This has happened in my 7 years in Mexico at least two or three times now, where there's a big war on drugs and it involves a reform of the police departments, this kind of thing. I don't know how well it's going to work. You still have the reality of millions, billions of dollars worth of illegal drugs being demanded on the part of the American population. And a lot of them come through Mexico, and that's going to continue to corrode the police forces. So it's a long-term effort. It needs the participation of the American government, and more than just hectoring Mexico to stop being so corrupt and get their act together and this kind of thing. It needs a subtler approach, I think.
President Bush and President Fox each like to wear cowboy boots. Do they have much in common beyond that?
Oh, boy, I don't see a whole lot in common. Certainly Vicente Fox is not, a child of privilege. His parents weren't poor, but they certainly weren't like really wealthy. And I think what he's created, he and his family have created, has been generally with their own. It's been a bootstrap kind of operation in some sense. Certainly, though, they were never poor. But they never had the kind of opportunities I think that were afforded to George W. Bush. Either in business or in his schooling by his father. And that, I think they come in some sense from a little different background in that regard. They don't – Vicente Fox is more of a self-made man, I would say, than George W. Bush.
When you return – you're in Los Angeles right now. When you return to Mexico, which I know you'll be doing soon, what are you going mm-hmm. to be looking for?
I think what I want to do when I go back is in part cover this country building that Vicente Fox has to engage in. I think that's going to be very, very interesting, and it's going to be hard to do. It's going to be a challenge journalistically, but I think that there's going to be a lot of stories that come out of it that will be important for, I think, Americans to know about. I also want to start covering Mexico, the Mexican diaspora more. I'm from the Los Angeles area, and every time I come up here, I'm just stunned at the number of Mexicans and how they are changing Mexico. They are changing the United States, and how the experience here in the United States is changing them, making them see government, see economics in a different light. But certainly here in the Los Angeles area, you spend just a short amount of time, and it becomes completely apparent that they are the backbone of the L.A. economy, doing all the worst jobs and some of the better ones, too, nowadays. And so I want to get away from simply looking at Mexico as a country bound by these borders that we all know, and looking at Mexico in terms of Chicago and Texas and Los Angeles and the Central Valley of California. That, I think, is where my journalistic tendencies are leading me these days.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been great being on. Thank you very much.
Journalist Sam Quiñones is the author of the new book, True Tales from Another Mexico. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.